reading to you from the 91st Psalm in the 14th verse. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach in my stars in the morning. Oh, friends, this past 55 years, it passed so fast. Why? Because I've enjoyed serving my Savior. And I tell you right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you might be a church member but be lost. Please listen tonight. I'm preaching this with love and compassion. I want people to know the same Savior that changed my life 55 years ago. So just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to one of the most familiar passages in the whole Bible, the whole chapter, the 23rd Psalm, and this is the NIV translation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a place before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what a beautiful, you know, years ago, I had to fly out to Portland. My brother was dying, and my sister flew in from California, and I flew in from here, Denver, and we was with him when he passed. And I remember my sister got on one side of the bed, and I got on the other side of the bed. We took him by the hand, and I said, Will, I want to read something to you. And I read the 14th chapter of John, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Oh, I tell you, friends, what a joy that was. Now, while after he passed away, all the family were there, and they were crying, they were sobbing. And this brand new chaplain from the hospital had never been at a death. And he come in, and I knew he was frustrated. So I just walked over and whispered, and I said, Read the 23rd Psalm. And he did. He prayed and he left. That was his first beginning. Years and years ago, there was a movie star from this little town had came back, and they were having a great big dinner for him. And the president of the corporation got up and says to the movie star, "Would you do such a good job in recitation? Would you recite the 23rd Psalm?" And he said, all right. He said, well, the lighting isn't good and the microphones, but I'll do the best I can. So he got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and the people clapped their hands and were just rejoicing. Someone said, well, you know, Pastor Brown is here. Yeah, you know, let him quote the 23rd Psalm. And he quoted the 23rd Psalm. There was no clapping, there was no whispering, there was just reverence. Someone said, what's the difference? He said, well, you see, the movie star knew the psalm, but the preacher knew the Lord. Well, I've labeled this Christ, our wonderful Savior. And friends, he is wonderful in providing. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he's provided us with salvation. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know the one thing about the Apostle Paul. He continued to testify of his salvation experience until they beheaded him in prison. He said, you know, folks, one day I was walking down that road, and a great light appeared under heaven, and I heard his voice say, why does thou persecute me, Saul? Well, friends, you know, I've patterned my life a lot after Paul because I believe the most powerful preaching in all of this world is your own personal experience that you've had with Jesus. And beloved, if you've not had an experience with Jesus, you're lost and you're doomed and damned. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus, and I use this all the time, and you know I do, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, a man will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, friends, the Lord has provided us with assurance. Though the future looks uncertain, we can have a blessed assurance that we are heaven-bound saints of God. As you remember this little Melissa, this lady who I had led to Christ, her and her husband, and she's got MS. And before we left the house, when we come back to Denver, I said, Melissa, where are you going to go when you die? And she said, heaven. Why did she say that? Because God gave her the assurance. Now, you say, well, Cecil, you know, boy, I don't know what I'm going to heaven. Well, it tells us in John 5:1-13, says this, that we may know, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Now, here's what he said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he can provide all that we ever ask. And I read in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, he can do that. So if you're sitting there today or tonight and your house is being repoed and you've lost your job and one of your kids is a drug addict and one's in jail and you just about ready to throw up your hand and say, I don't believe there's a God. He's never helped me. Well, what does he say he would do in Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, friends, he's wonderful in leading. And I read in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Oh, dear friends, I tell you what. There's nothing in all of this world any more pleasant to me but to go out on my deck out here. I can see the mountains. I can see for miles. And I can sit down in my easy little chair and lay back and shut my eyes and hear that wind whispering in my ear and thinking on what God has done for my life. There is nothing. There's nothing that'll do more for you. Now, he leads us as a shepherd. And I read in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, if you are born again, he knows your voice, and you will follow him. But if you don't follow him, you're in a whole heap of hurt. I'll tell you that right now. Now, I've been around sheep all long time as a little boy, thousands of head of sheep. Art Bohosky used to use our range, and we used to have a sheep herd. His sheep herd take care of him. And that old sheep herd of his two dogs go out there and work with those sheep all day, protecting them from coyotes and cougars and whatever. But they knew their shepherd's voice. You and I know Jesus' voice. Hey, friends, I've told this before, but it's worth repeating. Years and years ago when I was in the roofing business, they had just put out the book, Go, Mo, Go, and I'd read it. And I was getting real good stuff from it. And one day, it was as real can be, God directed me to contact a movie producer and put that into a movie. At first, I thought it was nonsense. First of all, I don't have the thousands of dollars that it takes to make the movie. But you know what? God sold enough work for us that we were able to pay for that film, the book, and everything else. Now, I heard his voice, but I didn't think it was him. I wanted to think that couldn't happen. He leads us by his Spirit. And I read in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Now, friends, he's also wonderful in restoring. Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, listen. He restored the demoniac boy, a man possessed of demons, after Jesus healed and saved him. He wanted to follow Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? "Go and show what great things God has done for thee." He restored the paralytic. They let him down through the rooftop. Jesus healed him. Well, he's wonderful and comforting. And oh, I read in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Friends, just exactly about a year ago, I was in the hospital 3 times within a week. I really thought I was dying. Oh, friends, I couldn't breathe. And if you got the COPD, you know what I'm talking about. It's a terrible, it's frightening, it's frustrating when you can't get air down in your lungs. I'm on oxygen right now. Thank God for the oxygen. "He comforted the hungry multitude with food." Jesus had been preaching to his multitude of people, and they were all hungry. Jesus, with a couple of fishes and bread, fed the 5,000. Jesus always feeds his sheep. And pastor friend of mine, let me tell you what. If you're not feeding your flock, they will go where they will get feed. You say, "Well, Cecil, what are you?" Get on your knees. That's what you do. First of all, you confess your sin. You get on your knees and say, "God, you call me to preach. Now give me a message with some power and authority." And he'll do it. Well, he comforted believers with his resurrection. And I read in John 10:28, "And I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never, never, never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I added 2 nethers. He's wonderful in preparing. And I read in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, isn't that something? He prepares us for life. Now, John 10:10, they come not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, how do you get the abundant life? You get out and you start sharing Jesus. You start giving to the poor. You can't outgive God. You know you can't. And you know, friend, he says he prepares us for death. And I read in John 11:25-26, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never die." And you know, friends, he's wonderful in supplying. Oh, listen, what did he say in verse 6? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He supplies us with a new name. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much to people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Friends, he supplies us with our needs. Now I read Philippians 4:19. Oh, friends, you got to know this is right. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Friends, I had been given up to die. I was attending Bible college in Riverside, California, back in 1956 and early 57. We had nothing in our house, really. My wife, how she got us through it, I'll never know. The Lord and my wife got me through this. And well, one night she said, she was sitting out in the living room and she's reading her Bible, and I was sick in bed, of course. And I finally fell asleep. And she came in there and she shook me like she can't believe it. And she said, cease, wake up. What's the matter? I said. She said, have you ever read this? I said, what? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, friends. I said, oh, yes, I believe that. And she said, we've got to believe it. Now, we went out on the front porch, and here was two loaves of bread and a gallon of milk. We didn't know where it come from. It was from a deacon in our church who was so poor he couldn't pay attention. But that dear brother knew that I needed help, and God directed him every other day, two loaves of bread and a gallon of milk. Then, Christmas time, it blew my socks off. There was a pastor that I'd spoke in his church to his young people, and he came to my house, and he said, Brother Mo, we heard that you're pretty sick, and we want to give you some good news. He said, I work at the Air Force base out here. He had to work as well as pastor. And he said, every year we've given groceries and stuff to needy families. But someone suggested that we give this to one family, kids. Oh, friends, they brought over, I don't know how many, it seemed to me like it was tons, I know it wasn't, of groceries, ham, turkey, and presents for all the children, and even money. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And friends, I'm not saying this to let you think my halo slipped down over my eyes, but my wife and I have practiced this ever since we've been Christians, helping the poor and the needy, because we've been there so many times ourselves. My stars, when we first started out preaching, I don't know how God ever got us through it. We lived on faith. We walked by faith, my friends. We didn't have any money to see us through it. We walked by faith, and my God did supply our needs in Christ Jesus. Well, he supplies us with an eternal home, 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Dear friends, if you found this wonderful Savior by repenting your sins and receiving Christ as your personal Savior, oh, friends, I received him as my personal Savior, April 15, 1955, and he's real to me and precious. And I highly recommend him to everybody listening tonight. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He is the only door into heaven. You know what he's doing right now, friends. Now you say, Cecil, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, and I know what you're talking about. there's one thing that I haven't been doing that I should be, and I sure haven't been witnessing in trying to lead souls to Christ. Well, friends, I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to encourage you. Bow your head to me right now, will you, just for a moment? Father, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who knows Jesus personally, but they've never felt that they were able to witness or never felt that they were qualified to share Christ with people. And I'm so glad, Lord, that you don't care if we're short, tall, fat, skinny, ugly, bald-headed, lots of hair. If you've called us, and if we love you, we should obey you. And that's what we're asking for these people listening tonight that has never done that. Bless them, Lord. Bless their lives. And may we get a good report that they're out sharing the wonderful Savior with people. Now you say, well, see, now, hey, you've missed me. I'm not even a Christian. But I am a churchgoer. Oh, friends, I wished I could convince people that going to church is not going to get you into heaven unless you've been saved. It's not going to get you there. You've got to be born again. You've got to repent. Turn your back on the old way of life and confess that you are a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. Friends, I don't deserve heaven, and I'm sure not going to get there because I'm a preacher. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, friend, the wages of sin is death. So people do get paid for sin. Ah, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. Well, let me ask this. You say, well, Cecil, you know, I do have a kind of a funny feeling in my heart tonight. I really do. Well, is it the Holy Spirit of God tugging at you and telling you, son, daughter, I want your heart. I want to make you happy. And you can't be happy outside of Christ. No, you can't. So if you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life and you know you're a sinner, please pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life. And tonight, I'm turning my back on the old way of life and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air, and I won't embarrass you, and I won't sit down right and ask you for any money, and I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford to call collect, and I'll pay for it, okay? 303-471-8534.
My soul.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Again, I want to wish you a very happy new year. Oh, friends, listen. Jesus is coming back someday. No, I don't know when, because he'll come as a thief in the night. I'm not a false prophet. I know he saved me 55 years ago. He called me to share the gospel, and I've been trying to do it. Well, friends, be sure and pray for my wife and I in prison. And pray for our service at the Big Denver Rescue Mission real soon. Well, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.